Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to the East Valley News for Monday, January 12th, 2026, featuring news from Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm Lauren Vicker, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. We're going to start this episode with a story from the Mesa Tribune. MPS faces nearly a 25% enrollment drop by 2035. By Cecilia Chan, Tribune Managing Editor, January 11, 2026. Mesa Public Schools, the state's largest district, anticipates losing 23.28% of its student population in the next decade, which in turn would affect its funding. Enrollment for the current school year was 51,093, and was expected to dip to 39,196 by 2035-2036, according to the district. There's a lot of variables that are playing into this, explained Christy Glassmeyer, district senior research analyst at last week's governing board study session. There's economic factors, there's household factors like what buildings are being built, whether they're multifamily, whether they're single family, whether they're rented, whether they're owned, and what cohorts, what census age cohorts are becoming more predominant within our community. Currently, the district has 14 elementary schools, each housing over 500 students. By fiscal year 2036, that number is expected to drop to just 8 campuses, while the number of schools with fewer than 300 students is projected to increase to 20 from the current 3. Ishikawa, which a few years ago was bursting at the seams, there are changes. She said, "We have an estimated decline or projected decline of 184 there. The numbers for the junior high and high schools aren't much better. The number of junior highs with fewer than 700 pupils is expected to increase to 9 in 2036 from the current 4, and in 10 years, there won't be any campuses with a student enrollment greater than 900. Currently, there are 2. 4 high schools currently have a student population between 2,700 and 3,300. In a decade, there will be none, according to the study." Obviously, this is based on current trends that we see, Glassmeyer said. It's the best estimation of what we have. For next school year, the district's looking to decline by about 2,400 students, she said. Glassmeyer also highlighted schools projected to grow, as well as the ones that would be declining. For example, Hughes Elementary is expected to gain 42 students in 2026-27, while Las Sendas Elementary is forecast to lose 65. Among the junior highs, Franklin is expected to see its enrollment increase by 10, while 6 others are anticipated to drop, such as Carson Junior High with a loss of 59 students. The district's 2 alternative high schools, East Valley Academy and Superstition High, are expected to increase by 52 and 32 students, respectively. The other high schools that we have, Red Mountain, Skyline, Dobson, Westwood, Mountain View, and Mesa, are all set to decline in enrollment over the next year, Glassmeyer said, and that's not surprising. Instead of closing schools as enrollment drops, the district has been repurposing campuses and leasing out space. It has also been eliminating dozens of portable classrooms on various campuses. Glassmeyer also presented alternatives that families are choosing to enroll their children other than at a Mesa Public School campus. "We have 36 charter schools inside district boundaries," she noted. "We have 15 within 1 mile of our district boundaries. In 2018-19, there were 3 charter schools that opened up that particular year. 2 of them pulled in about 400 to 500 students. Those 3 added to an increase in charter schools of 10.7%. According to Glassmeyer, charter school enrollment peaked in about 2012 to 2013, but in recent years, they've generally had negative growth. "We're seeing a plateau in enrollment for these schools," she said, they only have a certain amount of families that are going to want to go to them. She noted that of the 15,000 students attending the 51 charter schools, half don't live within the district's boundaries. When we looked at top competitors, it's just not charter schools that is obviously in our market, Glassmeyer said, but we also have public schools that border our district. According to Glassmeyer, those competitors are Gilbert Public Schools, American Leadership Academy, Chandler Unified School District, Heritage Academy, EduPrize Schools, and Tempe School District. Overall, though, it's a wash for the district when accounting for school impacting the district's enrollment is the state's Empowerment Scholarship Account Program, which helps fund families' choice of a private school or homeschooling. With ESA funds becoming universal in 2022 to 2023, there's been a sharp increase in private school enrollment and homeschooling from the prior year, according to Glassmeyer. It has continued to increase, she said, just like charter schools when they came on the market. She added that the district's homeschooling enrichment program, Eagle Ridge, was seeing an increase in its enrollment. The bulk of the program's funding comes from ESA monies. According to Chief Business Officer Tyler Moore, now that the district knows how many students it's projected to lose, it can move forward and finalize its maintenance and operations budget for next school year. The 2,400 expected decrease in enrollment means the district's looking at an $18.3 million reduction in state funding, Moore said. The lower student count also means a $1 million reduction in override money, and the district doesn't anticipate getting $2 million from the free and reduced price lunch program, which was one-time funding in fiscal year 2026, according to Moore. Although the district expects to receive $7.6 million from the state's annual inflation adjustment, it was still facing a $13.7 million deficit for next year, he said. He said he is confident, however, that solutions underway, including an organizational redesign and a teacher allocation based on enrollment, will close that funding gap. As those enrollment trends continue to decline, it will continue to put pressure on how we staff and align educational programs throughout our district, Moore said. Board member Marcy Hutchinson said she wants to understand why Mesa students choose to go to other public schools, such as Gilbert and Chandler, so the district can recapture them. "I really don't want to accept this as a fait accompli," she said. "Maybe we can flip that and make it positive." She also asked if the two new high schools for next year, Shepherd College Preparatory and Franklin High, will flip those numbers. Superintendent Dr. Matt Strom said the two new campuses will help stem the district's loss to Gilbert, its largest competitor. Glassmeyer added that staff can do a deeper dive into what kinds of schools the district is losing the most students to for a better understanding of why they go there. Strom also said that the district is waiting for the research report in February or March from a consultant tasked with surveying parents on the reasons for their school choice. Board member Sharon Benson said she was concerned with the accelerated rate in the district's declining enrollment and wanted the district to focus on feedback from students. She also wanted to focus on how to capture the non-district students. Maybe an ag school on the east side, closer to Gilbert and AJ, would be a great thing to look at in the future, she said. That's how we're going to draw people back. That concludes this first story. MPS faces nearly a 25% enrollment drop by 2035. Our next story is from the Apache Junction Gold Canyon Independent. Volunteers needed to remove buffelgrass from Silly Mountain. By Richard H. Dreyer of Independent News Media, January 2026. Volunteers working on Silly Mountain and Apache Junction are removing buffelgrass section by section to stop the spread of the invasive plant that can fuel wildfires and choke out natural vegetation. From 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. the first Saturday of the month, from October to March, youth and adults meet at the base of the mountain at U.S. Highway 60 and Silly Mountain Road. Gather up pickaxes, gloves, and trash bags provided by the city of Apache Junction, and head up the mountain on rocky trails to a designated section. On Saturday, December 6th, about a dozen community members carefully navigated steep terrain to dig up buffalo grass and place it into trash bags so the seeds would not fall and take root. In desert areas where fire is not a common ecological process, invasive species, including buffalo grass, have invaded natural areas, threaten native species, and provide the fuel that allows fires to spread through the desert area, according to the Arizona Wildlife Conservation Strategy section of the Arizona Game and Fish Department's website. Volunteers have been pulling the buffalo grass off the mountain for about 3 years, said Elliot Anuta, Apache Junction Natural Outdoor Recreation Coordinator. We are about halfway up the mountain now with just manual pulls. Manual pulls can be a really effective way of treating buffalo grass, as long as we ensure we are getting the entire root system. It does less damage to the local ecosystem, because that way we're not using chemicals as well, he said. There are areas of the mountain that we know are not safe for participants to go to, so those areas we will treat with chemicals. We try to minimize that as much as possible and do things like this. The all-volunteer effort started several years ago with a grant from the Arizona Department of Forestry and Fire Management, Anuta said. In it, we identify specific areas that have a higher fire potential because of the invasive plants. And so those are the areas that we really target hard for fire mitigation and also for vegetation health. So those invasives can choke out a lot of the native vegetation, so we try to remove them to create that natural Sonoran desert, which has the gaps that we are all used to, and it definitely helps with the fire mitigation, he said. Micah Hudson, who pulled buffalo grass to gather National Junior Honor Society Community Service Hours, volunteered on December 6th with his mother, Amber. They both live in Gold Canyon, and 14-year-old Micah attends Legacy Traditional Schools in East Mesa. It was the first time they volunteered to pull buffalo grass, Micah said. He has hiked on Silly Mountain, hiking, and there was a campfire here once, he said. East Mesa resident Jan Favorite, also a volunteer, saw in the City of Apache Junction's e-newsletter that volunteers were needed to pull buffalo grass, which she had never done before, she said. Mesa resident Jill Bigelow's two daughters, 13-year-old Ruby and 15-year-old Lena, volunteered pulling buffalo grass. I think it's important to always take care of your community, Jill Bigelow said. October was rough. It was like 95 degrees outside. Volunteer numbers have been increasing in the past years, Anuta said. So last year when we did it, we did get smaller groups, usually like between 3 and 8 people. But October, November, we had 15 each time. So this year has been a little bit more momentum, Anuta said. We do get a lot of people who come from the surrounding areas, especially like the East Mesa border. Gold Canyon has a pretty large investment in coming out here as well, just because their community borders the east side of Silly Mountain. So we definitely do get people that reside outside of Apache Junction. Parks and Recreation Director Liz Lagenbach was at Silly Mountain the morning of December 6th, identifying areas where stinknet, another invasive plant, has taken root. Having the monthly manual pulls of buffalo grass by volunteers helps community members better recognize the invasive plant and greatly helps the city, Langenbach said. It can be on their own property or other areas that they are hiking, she said. There's just no way that we would be able to attack this all without volunteers. So the more that we can get folks engaged, the better we're going to be able to impact the work we do here on Silly Mountain. Volunteers were used a couple of years ago to pull stinknet from the mountain, Lagenbach said. We're unhappy seeing it popping up here. It wasn't here last year, she said. It smells terrible. It has a terrible oil, and then it will also become an invasive if we let it stay. And there's a note that for more information on the volunteer effort to remove invasive plants, you can go to www.apachejunctionaz.gov/1168/invasive-species. And that concludes this story, Volunteers Needed to Remove Bufflegrass from Silly Mountain. You're listening to the East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. On Sun Sounds of Arizona, I'm Lauren Vicker, your volunteer broadcaster. In another story from Apache, water lines to be installed under US 60. Goldfield, Idaho work planned in early 2026 by Richard H. Dyer of Independent News Media. January 2026. Construction on a $1.4 million project to install two water lines under U.S. Highway 60 at Goldfield Road and Idaho Road in Apache Junction is to start in February or March. The Apache Junction Water District Board, comprised of Apache Junction City Council members, on December 16th, discussed the project and an $88,800 engineering agreement with Colliers Engineering and Design, Inc. for engineering services for the water main extensions. A 12-inch water line was installed from the U-Haul development just up to the U.S. Highway 60 Superstition Freeway. Water District Director Mike Loggins said, "And then north of there, we have a gas station that the water line ended. We've never connected those two locations," he said. Also, on Goldfield, we had Goldview Subdivision come in that's just north of US 60, and we already had development with Dulce Vida and a couple of other parks on the south side that brought those water mains just up to those locations, and we haven't been able to tie those in. So, we want to do this to loop our system. Design plans for the previously approved $1.4 million project should be available by the end of January, with the construction starting in February or March, he said. Board member Brian Soller asked if the work will cause traffic problems. "Are we going to be able to do this without snarling up traffic on Idaho?" he asked. The Water District would work with the Arizona Department of Transportation on its right, and said, "We'll probably take one lane out underneath Idaho, so that may delay the project just because the snowbirds are in town to probably April-ish, so we have a little less traffic at that location, or make sure that we don't adversely affect our hazardous waste day, because I know we use Idaho on that too," he said. "We're going to work with ADOT to open cut this existing in first, and then we go ahead and push water lines in there so that if it does create a leak on that water line, it flows out the ends of the casing and doesn't affect the freeway either." Connecting the water lines on the north and south of the freeway is important, board member Daryl Cross said. "It's extremely important to have multiple directions of flow. It really substantially helps the service that we provide our customers," he said. "I've seen a lot of issues, a lot of havoc for businesses, to the point where they have to install a fire pump where it grids through out the entire area. Just makes a huge difference. So thank you for doing this." Water District. The Apache Junction Water District supplies well water, groundwater, pumped from the Eastern Salt River Subbasin Aquifer, which flows southwesterly under Apache Junction and its surface. The groundwater is treated for arsenic removal where necessary, disinfected with chlorine, pumped into storage tanks, and blended with Colorado River surface water. The surface water is transported through the Central Arizona Project Canal System and filtered and purified at the Superstition Area Water Plant before being introduced into the distribution system. The Water District can also receive treatment cap water from the City of Mesa through an interconnect for a backup supply of water if needed. That concludes this story, Water Lines to be Installed Under US 60. Next, from the Mesa Tribune, Mesa Board Rules Again Against Recovery Home by Cecilia Chan, January 12, 2026. A recovery facility last week saw its request denied for a special use permit to continue treating addicts in an upscale Mesa neighborhood after a city board hit an impasse. Legacy Recovery House representatives declined comment on its next steps immediately after the packed January 7th Board of Adjustment hearing, where Hermosa Vista residents voiced concerns of such a facility operating adjacent to an elementary school. One option for Legacy is to appeal to the Superior Court, where Legacy already is appealing the board's April vote to uphold the planning director's decision that the facility was a transitional community residence and would need a special use permit. Legacy was previously classified as a family community residence, needing a certificate of occupancy, which the city granted, but rescinded with the planning director's decision. With the denial, the city is moving forward with code enforcement, spokesman Kevin Christopher said. It really is not about us being discriminatory to a request for fair housing, said resident Rochelle DeRiso, who lived directly west of Legacy on the same side of Minton Street. This facility is separated barely by 8 inches of a block wall from the school. DeRiso and others described an October 3rd incident where SWAT and a helicopter descended on Legacy for 3 hours in response to a suicidal patient who allegedly lunged at a staff member with a razor. I am an educator, DeRiso said. I actually teach and work in the same community. Some of my students are also my neighbors. So as an educator, I have a unique view of what a lockdown in a school would be like for 3 hours in an elementary setting. What if kids saw the SWAT team with their AR-15s? What if they saw the body armor? What if they heard? They could not help but hear because every single one in the neighborhood for no less than 20 minutes heard this unbelievable loudspeaker calling to the woman who was threatening self-harm to come out. She said she saw the woman finally emerge from the home with cut wrists and taken away to be treated. This is not a secure facility, DeRiso continued. You can't guarantee that this isn't going to spill over. And in my mind, it's not if it's going to happen. It's a when it's going to happen. What level of collateral damage are you guys okay with accepting and allowing them to stay there? Michael Steffen, representing groups in the neighborhood, told the board that it needed to consider the school in making its decision. School adjacency is a proper factor in the required findings, he insisted. He also called Legacy's track record and credibility into question. The city determined the operation was misclassified, voided the provisional approval because it was based on erroneous information, and directed that operations must cease pending a special use permit, Steffen said. Tonight you're being asked to rely on Legacy's representations again, after the city has already found their earlier representations were not accurate. The city in October issued a civil citation to Legacy for continuing to operate without obtaining the special use permit. That matters because your findings depend on whether you can reasonably rely on this operator to follow limits and conditions going forward, Steffen said. He added that although Legacy was required to submit a, quote, good neighbor policy, spelling out standards for operations, such as how it will handle neighborhood complaints, it only assures compatibility if the operator has shown a track record of voluntary compliance. And because Legacy's program is voluntary, the facility can't guarantee that there would not be patients loitering in the neighborhood. In practice, we regularly see people congregating outside the front and on the corner because they need a break from the house, he claimed. I didn't print photos of those individuals to protect their privacy, but the enforceability problem remains. Legacy has not demonstrated the capacity to implement its own policies. Amanda Misinko, who lives south of Hermosa Vista Elementary School and had a child who attended the campus, said that students use Minton Street as a primary walking route and that the street was heavily populated with young children and families. My opposition is not about the individuals served, Misenko said. It's about the location, safety, compliance, and responsible planning. An elementary school requires a stable, predictable, and secure environment. This site does not provide that and seriously jeopardizes it. About 30 residents submitted cards stating their opposition to the permit. Mesa Public Schools also submitted a letter of opposition. Two speakers, however, vouched for Legacy. Sam Kirby, a Tempe resident who worked for Valley Hospital as a lead discharge planner, said that Legacy has been one of her leading recommendations to send patients to after they've been stabilized. Legacy had an existing facility in a county island in Chandler near Riggs and Lindsay Roads. I've discharged multiple patients to them and had successful recovery. Kirby said, I just believe in what they do, and I believe in mental health, and I would hope that Legacy could continue to grow because I think it's actually one of the best rehabs that I have personally seen. Barbara Waite, a Mesa resident and a registered nurse at Valley Hospital, a private psychiatric hospital in Phoenix, said she's worked closely with Legacy's owners, Dr. Roland Siegel and Dr. Ihab Abdallah. The two men purchased the home on Minta in 2024 for $1.7 million. Legacy has a very good reputation, said Waite, who's worked a couple of shifts at Legacy's Chandler facility. They don't accept patients that are high acuity, that are suicidal, sex offenders, those types. As for the October 3rd event, that kind of situation can happen anywhere, in any neighborhood, my neighborhood, your neighborhood, she added. People have crises, and it's unfortunate that it happened at Legacy, Waite said. But they took the steps that they needed to do, call the police to rectify the situation. The positive things that Legacy has done for the population, the mental health population, I do support Legacy. Attorney Heather Dukes gave about a dozen examples of behavioral health residential facilities in Mesa that have been approved in close proximity to schools, including one that was adjacent to a preschool and daycare, with all having no issues. A lot of the things that are being discussed on the record tonight about loitering and crime and smoking and parking on the street and security cameras catching crimes occurring on our property, none of that is before you as objective evidence, Duke said. A lot of it is hearsay. There's been no security camera footage disclosed in opposition of our case. There's been no pictures of loitering. There's been no complaints to the city of Mesa about criminal activity coming from this home or loitering. Showing two different crime maps, Dukes pointed out that no crimes occurred in 2025 at our location. The facility opened in March 2025. She also showed pictures that were shot for 20 straight days in December, showing no vehicles parked on the street at the property. One speaker said, however, that he's seen cars parked along the street outside that window when the pictures were taken. And we're going to have to leave it there because that's all the time we're going to have for today's edition of the East Valley News, brought to you each weekday at this time by Sunsounds of Arizona. I'm Lauren Vicker, your volunteer broadcaster. If you missed any part of this program or want to hear a story again, you can go to our website, sunsounds.org, and click on Demand Podcasts. You can also take Sunsounds with you with our Sunsounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones, or listen to Sunsounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Thanks so much for joining us today. Stay tuned for more great programming from Sunsounds of Arizona.